Patterns of Presence, Day 10. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Luke here jumps in his narrative from the birth announcement of the angel to the moment when Mary gives birth. And there is in between this a little bit of background shared with us. In the weeks leading up to Jesus' arrival, the Roman government have announced a census. And this census involves everyone travelling to their hometowns in order to be counted. As Luke tells us this information, he describes that the census is being taken of the entire Roman world. Now, the extent of the Roman Empire at this time, well, it was vast. It encompassed the nations surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. It was pretty much the whole of what we now call Europe and parts of northern Africa. So the boundaries of this empire were huge. They were pretty much the superpower on the world stage at that time. And as this superpower was measuring the size of its muscles and establishing the extent of its dominion, Jesus was born. This is the backdrop for Emmanuel. This is the staging for the arrival of the Messiah, the context into which God became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The King of Kings was born in a manger, in a lowly stable, in a town that was considered to be the backside of a subservient nation. Luke is recording in these verses a history-shifting moment here. He steers in these verses into the story of Jesus' birth, and as he does so, this small sentence at the very beginning communicates so much to us. The nation of Israel is not doing well. In fact, the concept of them being a nation is laughable. The very fact that Caesar Augustus is a headline and an influencer within this record of history points to a very dark period in the life of this people group. This fact must have been embarrassing for the people of Israel to read when they read this gospel. For it speaks to the fact that they had been conquered. They were puppets with another hand pulling their strings. This land is not their own land. This lifestyle, the shape of their society, the environment that they are raising their kids in, all of it is far from their ideal. Israel is not a happy, secure, or safe place to be. And all that they can really do is just look on as their culture degrades and the world as they know it changes beyond recognition. This was an uncomfortable time. But within this evolving landscape, there were glimmers of their traditions. The temple still stood at the heart of the nation. Temple life and its rituals were very much still the heartbeat of the nation. But even that must have been hard. Because the temple and all that it represented spoke of Israel as the chosen people, the holy nation, the ones out of whom all out of all the nations on the face of the earth, they were the ones that were favoured by God and called to host his presence. And yet, the favoured people, the chosen nation, well, they were captives in their own land. Their temple practices, their sacrifices, their religious leaders, their laws and belief systems held no power at all in a culture that was spiralling out of their control and in a land where the dictatorship clouded their vision and there didn't seem to be any light at the end of their tunnel. But into this environment, Jesus came. Within this context, God presenced himself. Within this, he turned up. And he came to bring change. He came to bring transformation. He came to bring down and raise up. He came to release and bring life. He came to make known and manifest peace. And he came as a baby. Think about this. To bring change to a nation against the backdrop of institution, military prowess, political influence, dictatorship, a spanning global dominion, came a baby. A baby with the power to turn the whole world on its head. A baby that drew scholars and shepherds alike. that lit up landscapes with glory and altered the night sky with announcing angels and guiding stars. Earth and heaven, rich and poor, wisdom and industry, religion and prophecy, all herald that in the midst of superpower and dominion, power and empire, came even greater significance. A baby with the power to change the world. God in the flesh. Presence manifest, but not as you would think. This was a David and Goliath type situation. Rome was Goliath with its arrogance and its strength, its surpassing greatness and its appetite for supremacy. Jesus was David, the meek and small, the innocent and unassuming, the one who held the divine in his heart and carried the mandate of heaven, the one against whom no one could stand and giants would fall. But he came in an unusual way, an unexpected way. His arrival was seen and felt, but I wonder how much attention he garnered when the sensation was gone. In those years between the glory in the hills and the temptation in the wilderness, in that time between his presentation as a baby in the temple and his baptism in the Jordan, in the space between the announcement of great joy and good news by the angels and his declaration that the Spirit of the Lord was on him to preach the good news, I wonder, in those spaces, did anyone really see him? Was he noticed? As he walked the landscape of life dominated by a Roman Empire, did anyone see the one who would change the landscape of the entire world? Did anyone recognise the one whose influence and power, rule and reign would outspan that which seemed to rule all things? Because who can speak now of this Roman Empire? Where is it today? Where is its reach? Where have its boundaries gone? What happened to its scope? But as for Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, the David walking onto the stage dominated by Goliath, well, the king whose meekness was his majesty and whose unassuming arrival released his kingdom, well, his dominion currently stretches from sea to sea. It spans continents. It impacts generations and it fills epochs of history with influence. Rome is gone. Who can speak of its empire? Time has erased its fingerprints and only traces of its greatness remain written in our history books. But the fingerprints of Jesus? The life of Jesus is seen in the lives of men and women, boys and girls, families, churches, communities and nations the world over. Truly, the kingdom of God forcefully advances across this globe, and not even the passage of time and the advancements of humanity can hinder its influences, because even centuries later, human beings are still finding truth and meaning, significance and purpose in his truth, in his life, and in his way. This world-changing power and presence came in an unusual way. He was present upon the earth before his influence was really seen and his power was truly displayed. He stepped into the world, he grew within his context, so at the right time and in the right moment he would be found and his glory would be manifest. Today, pause. Find him. You might feel like your world is spiraling out of control. You might feel like the landscape of life and living seems to alter with rapid consequences and concerning developments. But don't worry. God is there. His presence is within all. He might not be present in the way that you expect. You might not find him in the place that you think he should be, but he is there. That which clouds your vision might seem huge. The influences at work in your world right now might feel great. What you're facing might appear overwhelming. But don't worry. These things will pass with the passage of time and their influence will lessen with the changing of the season. Crises come and crises go. Challenges rise and fall. Storms sweep in and then they blow away. But there is one who is constant, one who remains, one who is sure and steadfast. And unlike the landscape of life and the culture around us, he is unchanging and true. He is there. He is here. God is with you. Because he is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. His presence might not appear in the way that you would expect, but it is then your expectations that have to adjust. Change the lens, adjust the focus. See him, discover his nearness, open the eyes of your heart to find his presence. And when you see him, anchor to him. Center your heart on him. Connect for a moment with him and where he is and what he's doing. It might not seem like much just now, but he is greater and bigger than anything and everything. And at the right moment, and at the right time, his glory will be seen and his beauty will be found in your today. He makes all things beautiful, but he does it in his time. Trust his time. Trust him. He will make a way.
I still believe in the one. He can do miracles. There's never been a day he didn't walk with me through the valley.
Never fail me, I know he never will.
Come
He's on the way.
I still believe it. He's on the way.